Hello, everybody. How are you doing tonight on this? It's a good Sunday. I mean, we didn't have a great Saturday, but it's a good Sunday. Always trying to look on the bright side here on Football Miami TV. I am your host, Peter Brown, and thanks so much for everybody for joining us. Ed will be joining us shortly. He is running a little bit late, but not like you guys. You guys are all here on time and early, some of you. So thank you so much for that. Should be a lot of fun tonight. We're going to do a few things. I want to talk a little bit about the event that our Joe Shaw, who was on our show last Tuesday, we'll go into that a little bit today. Talk, you know, kind of like recap some of the event. I thought he did a great job. I got a little show and tell from that event that I kind of want to show off. I think you guys might enjoy. Plus, of course, we'll get into that game. But, you know, more importantly, next steps, right? What do we do for the rest of the season? Things like that. And just your thoughts. So lots of that tonight. As always, you know, if you want, you can give us a call at 786-474-4435. And start saying hello in the chat. We'll start get going in just a second. But before we do all that, you know the drill. Let's say thank you to Caneswear. Caneswear is where you can get that great bucket hat, especially if you didn't go to the game on yesterday and you didn't get yourself a bucket hat. You know, you can go and buy yourself maybe even a better bucket hat than the one that was given away at the game. But Caneswear is located in Davie, Florida, just south of 595 on University Drive. Great place to get all your inner Miami gear. And a big thanks to Mia Rodriguez. She's the goat of all realtors. If you're buying or selling property, call 754-269-6923. Speaks three languages. She's there to help any of your buying and selling needs. So do that. And as I spoke about the hat, look at this thing. I am not a bucket hat guy. I see other people wearing bucket hats and I think, hey, those guys look kind of cool with bucket hats. I put on a bucket hat. I can't pull it off. I cannot pull off a bucket hat. So let's go back to where I was. I feel much better with a baseball cap. All right, everybody. Let's say hi to the few of you that are in here. If you haven't said hello, please do. All right. So the first person I see in the chat is Sports Shorts. Welcome, Sports Shorts. Oh, and this gives me an opportunity to take a second and resize this. That's a little bit big. Bring that over here. There we go. And Ed is joining into the show. But before we bring Ed in, let me just finish doing what I'm doing here. Louis Rodriguez is in the chat. I was looking for you, Louis. I didn't see you at the Fusion reunion. You made it sound like you were going. You weren't there. B. King ran into you last night. Good to see you, B. King. Our old buddy Caesar is here as well. He left a voicemail, so we'll get to that in a bit. And good to see Guyver. Tank, another heartbreak, yes. And I now see Kata in here as well. So anyways, you guys, anybody else listening, jump into the chat. Have a little bit fun in the chat. All right. Ed's here. Oh, well, maybe not completely here yet. Let's do something here. There's Ed. Hey, Ed!
Brown,
how you doing tonight?
Oh man, miserable.
miserable. Oh. Because of yesterday.
Yeah, and traffic was terrible. I got back with the OG of OGs, Julio Caballero, at about 1:30 in the morning. My wife was very upset. She was thinking that something was up, that I was seeing La Otra, which I don't have La Otra. Except it use Messi, who's the one that, you know, hooks me up with the coffee right here.
Hold on. What is this La Otra thing?
That means the other one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, but no. It's never, I would never do that to my wife.
Yeah, no, I mean, show her this shot right here.
There they are.
You were talking about the OG, the three of us there. Look at this. Look at what they did.
Messi. Wow. Doña Yus Messi's hooking it up. Look at that. Got my cafecito right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I somehow got transported away from Football Miami TV Cafe.
I don't know what you're talking about, Ed.
I was like, you know,
I don't know what you're talking about. This is a new screen. This is what happens when you show up late. Wasn't prepared. This is a new scene that I created. They did a great job of putting up this advertisement for the Apple TV show, and it was funny. It just makes you think they should do this kind of thing more often. Paint some of the walls or what? I mean, me and my wife are debating as to what this is, because that's clearly a photo, but it does look like it's painted. So I don't, because really well you done. see the indentation of all the bricks and everything. It's not like something that's just flat over, you know. But right. It was really cool. But there was a line basically to take a picture with this, like as if you were meeting a character in Disney.
Yeah, that was crazy. And I was like, why are people making the line? And it was because of this. And that was, you know, Peter Brown pointed it out. It came out in the vlog video. I don't know if the vlog even came out. It was uploading last time I checked.
Last time I checked, it was still uploading, Ed.
Yeah.
So, anyways, but before we get too far down the path of the Inter Miami game, I did want to kind of just briefly talk a little bit about the event that, you know, happened. And I'm trying to load up a picture over here. The event that happened that our friend Joe Shaw put together on Friday. So before we got too deep in all that stuff, I just wanted to do a brief thing, because if anybody here is too young to remember the Miami Fusion, it's kind of like what Inter Miami. It should have never gone away. We should have just continued. It should have, you know, they probably would have rebranded at that point into a more European name, right, like Inter Miami, because everybody else, for the most part, rebranded. It was, you know, a great time in the early days of the league, second year of the league, and things like that. So it's part of our history. And this guy from Dallas who does a podcast of all things, he's in Dallas, but he does a podcast on Miami Fusion, decided, you know, to put together an event. And it was a really well put together, a really, really good event. Did a great job. You see them there hosting. They're doing their podcast right there. They don't do a live show like us.
Is that Fernando Fiore right there?
That's the back of Fernando's head. Yes,
I can tell that the back of that head from anywhere.
Yeah, yeah, it was great. And like I said, and Fernando was like hanging on every word. He was, yeah, he wanted to sit up front, and and there you see Chris Henderson is there as well. And
I would have been able to go, Peter, because I mean that would have been something, you know, for nostalgia's sake, for just to, you know, to see all the, so look at that, you got to hang out with Chris Henderson. He's one of the big wigs over at Inter Miami, and
let me tell you, it was cool to see Chris there. I don't know him. We met him. My wife went and grabbed him because I was like, he's right there, but he's in the middle of another conversation. I don't want to interrupt that conversation, and my wife is like, taps him on the shoulder. She's like, Chris, can you come over here and talk to my husband? The nicest guy. The nicest guy. But what was really cool is to see Chris Henderson's. So he's a corporate executive, right? And as a corporate executive, you could kind of feel like, hey, you know, you're a little too big for this or whatever. You know, been there, done that. Not.
Was he the only Inter Miami guy there?
No, Jim Rooney was there.
Inter Miami, Inter, not Fee,
oh,
Miami.
Inter. Yes. Inter Miami. Yes. The only Inter Miami guy there. He was there and you could see the excitement that he had to be at this event. He felt like a fan as much as the rest of us. So little story real quick about Chris. We sat with him for a good 20 minutes. Hopefully he will come on the show. He said he would. But he does have to kind of, he has to go through the PR people at Inter Miami. But I do have his information, so I will be contacting him at the end of the season, was our agreement. So, but, you know, we're sitting there talking. Eventually, you know, conversation ends. He goes away. And one of the things that Joe was doing at this event is if you buy a Stella drink, you get to keep the glass. And what they would do is they had an etcher, and they would go over there and they would etch something on there, whatever you want. And you know, and he forgot his glass at my table. He comes running back to get his glass, and he's like a little kid, like, oh, my glass. I gotta go get it etched. He was excited to do something so simple. I mean, to get the Miami Fusion thing, and so simple. It was a cool thing that Joe did. People liked it, but it was very simple. But to see this man like get excited over something so simple was fun.
Right.
And then my wife goes over there, and he sees her because she's going to go take care of it for me while I hold down the table because we didn't want to lose our table. And you know, he's sitting there again with the same kind of enthusiasm and excitement telling her, oh, you got to do this. You got to, you know, he'll do this. You'll. So my wife put on there, you know, it already had Joe's 25 for 25, you know, because that's his podcast. And then it said Fusion. And then you flip it on the other side. They put my name on it and put Inter Miami. Nice. So it's kind of a cool little memory of that day.
How very many of you.
Yeah, you know, some other folks that you might recognize that were there.
Oh, yeah.
Ian Bishop.
Bish, awesome. And
I was trying to explain to my wife.
Did Bish get drunk? Because that never happens.
No, I would not. I don't want to throw any dispersions or anything. I would never say that. But Jim Rooney, the captain, the bald guy is the captain of Miami Fusion back then. And Ian Bishop, I tried to explain to my wife. I told him I called Ian Bishop Miami Fusion's David Beckham. And the funny thing was, and that was just so that my wife could have a good understanding as to who this guy was in relation to somebody she knows. And, you know, he was never at the level of Beckham as far as fame, but that was what was funny. So I told him, I said, hey, I told my wife, you're kind of like our David Beckham back then. And he goes, well, no, you're saying that. I'm not saying that. And then he goes, well, wait a minute. You know, I did play in the Premier League. I am British. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's a pretty good analogy.
That's awesome.
That was so funny. No, that's so really funny. Cool. But just,
it's cool to call him, you know, you're the Beckham of the Fusion.
Of the Fusion. I did. He you know, hemmed and hawed about it, but also I wanted to just wrap up here with a little bit of show and tell, but just say, Joe did a great, I mean, he welcomed everybody so well. He welcomed me like as, you know, just by bringing him on the show, he gave me this cool Miami Fusion scarf.
Scarf, tab to the collection.
You know? And then on the backside, it's got his podcast.
Nice.
This is his podcast on the backside. We got that. Look, I got a bunch of these. I'll share these. These are window clings for the Miami Fusion.
That is
got
really
a bunch
cool.
of those. Oh, look at this. Look at this. Hang on, Ed. I want to see your reaction. Look at this. We got this lunch bag. Do you remember these?
Hey, yeah. I had one. Yeah.
Honda.
I had lunches, but wow.
It looks like it might have been used because it's a little rough on the inside or dirty, but who cares?
Yeah.
Here, check. Where's One World, One Goal? She should be here. I wanted her to see this. I don't see her in the chat.
Not be there.
Look at this.
Whoa.
Autographed Diego Serna card. Yeah. How about that? Look at this one, Ed. Look how young Pablo was.
Wow.
Look at that baby.
He had the dreadlocks after.
Got a bunch of them here. And then some uncut cards as well. You know, got these.
Nice. All the drama.
And, you know, Really lots of cool fun collection. Giveaways. He did a lot of fun giveaways for the people that showed up. And, you know.
That's so, really cool.
Did a great job. Comments in the chat saying that he remember Louis Rodriguez remembers those bags.
I had one for the longest. Throughout the years, you lose things.
Tank likes the scarf. God is asking, can I get those at Caneswear? You can't buy Miami Fusion stuff really anymore unless you're buying it off the secondary market. Tank saying Inter Miami should have a Fusion jersey for like a flashback game night. Agreed. Agreed. They need to buy the name back. I think Jorge Mas should spend the money to buy back the Fusion name and logo and the Fort Lauderdale Strikers name and logo. And even if it's not because they use it on a regular basis, but for the history of soccer in South Florida and so that Inter Miami are kind of like the keepers of the history, because they've talked about building some sort of museum near the new stadium. So I think that kind of thing should definitely happen. But well, you know,
Toros, and what's the other team that was here? The Miami Sharks.
Well, yeah, and there's going to be a new Miami Sharks with rugby.
Oh yeah, you're right.
But yeah, there was a Toros and the Gatos, Miami Freedom. Miami Freedom played for a little while as well. I remember going to see some of those games. There were several, you know, tombstones in the soccer graveyard. Right. But I wouldn't say Inter Miami should be responsible for owning the naming rights or anything for all those. But at least the other two big ones.
The Miami Fusion would be good. And I think the Strikers, that's good enough.
Yeah, that's good. And just so that they're, like I said, they're the keepers of the... Terry Allen's asking from that picture, where's Pablo's dreadlocks? He didn't have them yet here. He was just a baby. He didn't have them yet.
Yeah. He was one of the young ones.
So, all right. That was my go down memory lane. And Ed, yeah. This might be one of the cooler things. Mm-hmm. This might be one of the cooler things. And I have enough to share.
Wow.
Look at this. This is unused.
Yeah.
Inaugural game. Miami Fusion versus DC United. Sunday, March 15th, 1998.
They overprinted them or what?
I don't know. How did unless they get they're that? Replicas, but they sure look official to me.
I have the I have my copy in an album I've got over here in my storage, so you know that's pretty cool to get those. Those are in pristine shape too.
Perfect shape, just a little bit of a curve to them, if you can see. But perfect shape.
Wow.
And they look official. I mean, they've got the Ticketmaster stuff on the back.
Yeah.
You know, it looks legit.
From way back in the day, that's how it used to be. None of this, you know, use your cell phone ticket.
No.
No.
So, anyways, hopefully we could get Chris Henderson on the show. And I even told him we'll talk about whatever he wants. If he doesn't want us to go too deep on Inter Miami, we're happy to just talk Miami Fusion with him because you know that's how we roll, me and Ed. We go old school.
Everything that it did, all his MLS history, we can talk about.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. All right, let's talk about the game, Ed.
Let's get to the nitty gritty. Did you go over? You did the sponsors and stuff.
I did. I took care of business.
Quick.
Took care of business.
Yeah, it's good. Oh, Peter Brown. All right. Basically, that's it. It's over. Disillusion. I mean, the feeling you get when your team doesn't make the playoffs. I already saw social media, Orlando, they're going crazy with the whole, you know, we didn't make the playoffs, blah, 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 like they're going to win the MLS Cup.
Well, you never know. But, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. But whatever. I mean, it is what it is. This year, we didn't expect anything to happen this year. We got, you know, the League's Cup, which is good enough. We're going to play CONCACAF. champions. We don't need we. So you know, was 2023 a success for Inter Miami? Yeah, it was. Would have been
I'd
better.
I'd say so. We didn't expect to win anything because you know, yes, okay, you get Messi, and but if you're realistic. And you're not just here because of Messi. If you were following, if you follow the league in any way, you know that bringing in a European player in the middle of the season is always a challenge, right? They take a little while to kind of fit into the team. Now, he didn't take any time at all, but because we won a championship right away with him. But, you know, sometimes they come over injured. I mean, it's just... especially when he in our situation comes over to a last place team, there's just a lot of things that need to change, and you know, to come away from playing in two finals and winning one, anybody would consider that a success.
Right.
And I see so many people now on social media saying, scrap this entire team. You just keep the three guys. Well, first off, easier said than done. That's not possible in this league. You've got contracts you have to honor. There's rules. It's difficult. That was one of the things I talked to Chris Henderson about, is they should, you know, hopefully, you know, work on some of those, fixing some of those, you know, making it easier.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Hopefully, the way that I see it, they need to have like five DPs. Maybe that's too much. At least one more extra.
I'd say it's more realistic to see like one this year, you know, but
you said that you would abolish all these other rules too, right?
So not necessarily all. Basically my thought is you keep the DPs, right? Because in some people could say, well, get rid of all the DPs, just make it a big old open checkbook. Well, they're never going to raise the salary cap enough to bring in a Messi without some sort of mechanism.
Right.
You know, they're just not. So, because not every team wants to do that. So, so keep the DPs. So you have four in the future, I hope, at least four. And then I would just remove Gam and Tam. It's just you have outside of your DPs. And, you know, you could keep your U22 initiatives where they are a smaller cap hit, or, you know, these mechanisms that are in place to keep a smaller cap hit still helps us. So keep those mechanisms. I would just get rid of Gam and Tam. You just got one pot of money and you use it however you see fit. That's all.
I like that. Yeah.
I think it would make it a little bit easier because there are situations, and I brought this up to him because I think he could sympathize to it as being Chris. I mean, being a former American player, is that if you are a journeyman MLS player and you're good and you deserve a raise and they have a bunch of TAM available, that TAM money is not for you. You do not qualify to get that money. You qualify to get GAM, general allocation money. Targeted allocation money is for those European players, South American players, or Americans that are coming back into the league. You know, that's for your bigger signings. So, you know, he would not, Chris Henderson would have not qualified, right, to get. So you may have a player that you want to keep, but he deserves a raise, and there's no money available for him. So get rid of that. And that way you can reward those American players when they should be rewarded, or use it for European players. No rules, whatever you want. Use it however you want.
I like that.
That's simple. I mean, because you keep all the other mechanisms you want. They're complicated, but you can't get rid of everything all at once. But just getting rid of those two things, blending them together and just make one pot of money. That's it.
I'm all about that. I think it's makes things a lot more simple because it is really complicated. I mean, a lot of people I'm sure out there don't understand all these crazy rules and stuff that MLS has, but, you know, thank goodness you do, Peter, because goodness.
Well, I have a basic understanding, but Kata is saying here, it's easy, Peter. Get rid of Yedlin, McVay, Ascona, Uoa, Malta, Robinson, Joseph. There you go. You can't do that, Kata, unless all those players are out of contract. You can't do that. I don't know. And see, that's sometimes it's hard to find because there is not the clarity. What I started thinking about doing is what I need to do is create a spreadsheet that whenever players are updated or whenever, you know, renewed, I put down what their actual renewal date is. Like we just got some renewals with Miller and, you know, Campana. So, you know, I should start my own little spreadsheet because sometimes it's hard to find what is Yedlin's contract. I don't know when it expires, but I'm sure they didn't bring him over for a 1 or 2 year deal. They usually sign players for 3 years.
Right.
So McVay could be at the end of his contract. I don't know. And Kata, if you know that these guys are all at the end of their contract, then sure. Uoa's got to be at the end of his contract. He's, you know.
Yeah, I think he's close to probably retirement now, unless right. he doesn't play, you know, in some lower division. You know, I'm sure he still got it, but in the pecking order of Inter Miami, I think he just keeps getting pushed back, and he doesn't get the minutes that he probably could, you know, in another team.
And Mata, I imagine he's probably got at least another year. Robinson, going through Kata's list, is probably out. So yeah, let him go. Joseph, there you go. I agree. So just basic thoughts on that. Hey, real quick. Caesar with another super chat. Thank you, Caesar. $2 from Caesar. DP to add Otamendi and Acuna to strengthen the defense. What are your thoughts, Ed?
Austin Argentines, Otamendi.
Of course they are. Caesar would only come up with Argentines, right? Can't hear you, Ed. We lost. Looks like Ed's getting some audio problems here all of a sudden. I don't know if he touched a cord or something. But thank you, Caesar, for that.
Good.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Don't move around so much.
Yeah. You know,
so anyways, you were saying about Otamendi and Acuna?
Yeah, Otamendi and Acuna are great players. Of course, they're Argentine or whatever. But Otamendi at least is one that, you know, jumps out the mind. World Cup player. He's good, see? Acuna also. Yes. Yeah, we some help back there.
So to Caesar's point, as far as changes for next season, I do agree they need to be start in the defense. And that's one thing I mentioned to Chris Henderson as well, was that our defense is just too slow. His comment mainly was, and I get it, it's the kind of comment that anybody would make in his position, is that what I told him was, these last several games have showed one thing, is you've got some work to do this summer. That's what I told him. And he said, yeah, but in this league, you take out any team's three best players and they're going to struggle. He's not wrong, but still not the answer I want. We still need improvements.
Yeah, we definitely need improvements. And we need a player that's going to, and that's something I talked with Julio on the way up to the stadium, that we need a player that when Messi isn't playing, that will be the engine that's going to run that team, or at least the playmaker. And we're like, you know, if we could get Pozuelo back, if we get another, you know, DP spot, I'd take him. Why? Because the team improved when he was here. We only played with him for 6 months.
I know.
And the team improved. He made Higuain a star again. And I just think he would be, even if he would probably play incredible with Messi as well. You know, they don't really play the same position,
right?
But I just think that he would be the one that would give the ball to, you know, to our forwards, and Martinez. Martinez probably going to be gone, but to Campana, and you know, even with Messi's not there, he's the player that would make the difference if Messi's not playing. Just throwing it out there. They've talked about Modric as well coming. I know you're thinking that he's too old to come over here. He's still playing in a first, you know, in one of the best teams in the world. Now he's on the bench, but you know, every time he comes on, there's still that spark of, you know, of the stuff that he's capable of doing. You know, just another, just that's the type of player we might want to go for in case Messi's hurt again. Somebody that's going to be able to, you know, move that team, make it competitive when he's not around.
Mike V is mentioning that Yedlin is under contract till 2026. Yeah, so that's what I figured. I had a feeling he had a longer contract. So it's to the point of, and those of you that are newbies into MLS, you may not know that because you're used to watch. You're here because, hey, you love Messi, and you're getting into this team. What you also have to learn and get into are the crazy rules and regulations in MLS. Speaking of new, we got Haroon Mohamed, new to our channel. Welcome, Haroon. So what were you saying, Ed?
Yeah, I was saying that, you know, they could always trade him or something. That might be one of the options that they use. And, you know, I might go for that. Why? Because he's been slower. He's not coming back like he used to. He's not the player, you know, he's up there in the age. He's already in his 30s, I believe. And he just, you know, he's great going forward, but he doesn't come back quick enough. Same thing with Jordi Alba. If he's playing, we've got that problem as well because he's basically another, you know, he's basically a winger. So he's going up there and coming back is always a mission. We need one of the flanks. We need to have a player that's going to have the energy to come back and defend.
So I don't know if I agree that Yedlin doesn't quite have the energy. I see him moving and the guy's still fast. I think the issue is that he is pushed up so hard that almost anybody would struggle to get back because we are caught on these quick counterattacks all the time. And some of that is not just a defense. Some of that's got to be our midfield because if I remember correctly, and it's been a while, but I don't think we were as susceptible to fast counterattacks when we had Gregory.
That's true.
He would break up some of those possible passes in the midfield before they became fast breakaways.
Yeah, one of the things we were talking to Roberto Rivadeneira, who was actually sitting with us this last game, he was talking about how he doesn't think that the young players should be starters yet. He thinks they were put there too quickly. And I had to agree, Ruiz had a couple of, you know, opportunities where he basically didn't know what to do with the ball. I think you
mentioned. Oh my God, it was bad.
Yeah.
And then I was reading like some of our favorite, like, you know, inner Miami Twitter kind of guys, people that were all saying Ruiz had a great game. And there were moments. I mean, like Alex Winley, we love her. She's great. But she was commenting on she didn't agree with them pulling out Ruiz and that he had a great game. He had so many moments of indecision. He literally, there was that one play you're talking about. He didn't know what to do with the ball. And then eventually he gives it away and he's mad at other players.
He got mad because of that. And I was like, dude, you were the one that screwed it up. What's it? Kremoski, I think, went up. You know, that's the thing, that I don't like about Ruiz. He holds onto the ball too long. People make the run and he doesn't pass them the ball. You know, so he was complaining when Kremoski did the run. He should have passed him the ball. He didn't do it, and he lost the ball because he didn't know what to do with it. You know, he didn't pass back, which is something, another thing that drives me nuts, that, you know, we start going forward, people make the runs, and nobody gives them the pass. And it's really frustrating because, you know, these guys are getting tired. The guys are going, you know, going on the run are getting tired, trying to make, a good move, a good forward move, and they don't get the pass. And it's just a waste of time. They pass the ball back, and yes, we hold on. We have possession of the ball. But we don't score, guys.
Right, that's right.
We need to start.
Kata, you know. Kata brings up a good point here, and we noticed it as well. Kremoski looks dead tired. He is young. You figure he could go, but last several games, he can't play a full 90. I mean, he is, but he's not. You know, he's looks not dead.
100%. Right. I think they're all tired at this point. I think they need to figure out how these tournaments work out because the League's Cup is a very tiresome, you know, competition, especially for the one that wins it because the runner up, because they basically getting all the way there. It's, you know, game after game every 3-4 days.
Yep.
You know, it's anybody gets exhausted. And then we had to come back from that. We won it, thankfully. But everybody was tired for the Open Cup game. People were hurt. You know, and it just played, you know, same thing happened with the playoffs. We just don't have the depth because we already had a whole bunch of players hurt.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the other things I mentioned to Chris Henderson was that they need to expand the roster. And that's where expanding the payroll comes in, because you may see where individual players are not making that much more money, but they can at least hire more players. Like, you know, that maybe that's the route they need to go. Because yeah, all these extra tournaments, you know, if you go far in any of them, we just don't have the depth. And next year it's going to be worse for this team because they're also in the Champions Cup. So it's going to be even harder. They're going to have more games. It's kind of like what LAFC went through this year. A lot of teams, when they play in the Champions Cup, which generally starts before the MLS season, if it continues to the same schedule, quite often they start the MLS season a little bit slow. You know, they start off because they're dedicating so much energy to this Champions Cup that they tend to, you know, prioritize that over the MLS. And they get slow starts in the MLS. Sometimes they get to turn it around, what have you, but they're quite often slow starts.
Yeah, and LAFC, you were able to tell, they're not the same. Yeah, they're all exhausted, you know?
Yeah.
After that tournament,
they have. And they've all talked about it. The coaches are talking about it.
Yeah, everybody's exhausted, you know? There's all these tournaments that are in between, and they're talking about Copa Libertadores also,
right?
Get invited. Inter Miami to that, so we need a huge roster. We need it. I don't. What's the how many players could each team have now? Do you know?
I don't remember the number. No, I know. I think game day roster is like 18, but I don't know how many people can be off the game day roster. I think it's something like that. But Mike V says that contracts ending in 2024. Alba, Gregory, Christoph, Malta, Stefanelli, Jean, Negri, Allen, McVay, Dos Santos. That's a lot. That is quite a bit. That is, you can definitely, let me put that back up there.
Alba? I think he was longer.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. But yeah, I don't know. I'd have to go back and read about that signing. I don't know if he signed a 3-year deal or a one, but that does sound surprising, the Alba one.
Yeah.
But of those names, I would say for sure, I'd like them to get rid of, and this pains me to say because I like Christoph, or you either get rid of him or you just put him on the bench and he's backup. Because you do need, we talked about having a deeper roster. Having a deeper roster, more players, you get to keep a player like that maybe is not, because he's a little older and he's slower. He's great with his positioning, but he's slow. But anyways, if nothing changes and I'm just looking at like the same roster, I'm probably getting rid of Christoph. I'm probably getting rid of Stefanelli. Jean is gone. Jean has been hurt most of his time here. And when he did play, I was never all that impressed. Negri, right. I think I'm okay with Noah Allen playing there as the backup to Alba. Negri... Mm-hmm. I mean, Noah Allen's done a really good job of growing, and some people may disagree with me in the chat saying because they were talking about some of the kids are playing too much. But I would get rid of Negri and keep Allen, even though he's there listed. I would renew his contract. He's going to be cheaper.
Right.
McVay can go.
Yeah, McVay could probably go.
Dos Santos. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe you keep him because he's probably cheap. I've never seen him play, so I don't know.
Allen has just been so great that, you know, nobody else has played. And we had a good goalkeeper before.
They did draft a goalkeeper, so you can get rid of Dos Santos and just have the guy you drafted last year as your number two.
Yeah.
Wow. And draft another one for your number three, you know, something like that.
We do need to have a pretty decent goalie because if – we're up there. I mean, Callender is, you know, U.S. national team level player. And we don't see these other goalkeepers if they're good enough. You know, are they that level? Could they cover the goal as good as Callender does, or at least half as good? Because if you really think about it, Peter, calendars kept us in a lot of these games, especially in the League's Cup. You know, we were fortunate to have, you know, Messi on fire. But the fact that that calendar kept us in all these games because our defense, you know, was horrendous for a while. But, you know, we've been able to survive because, you know, I think Calendar is one of the guys that needs to be given much more credit than he has because he's done such an incredible job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, and he didn't get a call up, which I was surprised.
Good Tank for us.
Tank still wants Marsman. Tank still wants Marsman, I think.
He loves Marsman for sure.
Oh, my God.
He was good, but. You know, but Callender was just that much better. He kept him out of the goals, man. It just got to the point where you know we didn't even anymore, and he was getting a good paycheck.
Speaking of Noah Allen, the man that would know when his contract expires is his dad, and he says Noah's contract expires 2025.
That's good. We got Noah for a while then. We definitely need to keep him. Not just because of you, Terry, because you're there.
No, look, even though Terry's in the chat, if Noah was not playing well, we would say it. And you know, in the beginning, you know, when he's played some last year, for example, when little bit of time he might have gotten, sometimes it was like, eesh, I don't know. You know, Neville's putting him in. He's trusting him. I don't know. But he has grown a lot. He's really grown a lot. And you know,
yeah,
it is what it is. Yeah.
They just put something up about Farias. I think Farias is playing.
I was getting ready to read it, but Sui Maui says we need a good striker with Messi. Farias didn't understand the game. That's a little harsh, I think.
But that's not his position. You know, he's been playing out of position. Right. I think he's more of a midfielder. So, you know, we don't have forwards. All we really have was Joseph Martinez and Campana. Those are our only forwards. So, you know, he's basically covering a spot that I don't think he's got that good at. I think he's more of a creative, you know, possibly a 10
right. type of right. thing. And I think that's the intent, you know. But Luis Rodriguez feels that Farias, he's good at times. He's more speed than a striker. Yeah. I mean, and also remember, these guys are young. Really young, so they're also growing in things like that. I think there is a future with Farias, but should he be a starter? Probably not. But
he's good enough to be called up to the Argentina national team.
That's true.
For the World Cup qualifiers,
Cotta's calling him Molta 2.0. She can't shoot.
Nobody shot well. We had the opportunities in this game and the past game where everybody was hitting the pole or they were missing. And it was just, you know, these past two games have been incredibly, you know, frustrating because nobody could score. And we had opportunities to score, which would have changed, you know, the history of our playoff, you know, frustration. We could have been in the playoffs if these guys would have scored those goals that never come back. They never come back if you miss them.
Miami Santos Almada says Miami got invited to Copa Libertadores. Should they play in it next year? Hell yeah!
Oh yeah!
Right.
Definitely.
The chat is on fire tonight. We could just do a whole nother hour of just the chat. My goodness. David Maza checking in from Rosario, Argentina.
Nice. So,
but one thing I did want to talk about, Ed, before. What, go ahead.
I saw there's a Brazilian guy right before that, Argentinian guy. We have a Spanish show tomorrow at 9 p.m. más o menos Latin time, Miami time. So, you know, join us for that in Espanol todos los lunes a las 9 p.m. más o menos, hora latina.
And that was actually somebody posted a comment on one of our last videos. I don't know if it was the Mate video that we did. Somebody was saying, why don't you do this in Spanish? You would get more viewers. And my, you know, the response is, we got a show on Monday in Spanish. So please join.
Join us on Monday, el lunes,
en but español. Ed, one of the other big conversation items of that game, and I want to touch on this before we run out of time, is this. the supporters club was all three. Well, however many there are now, the three main ones. But I mean, the supporters clubs were supposed to go on strike. Basically, they were making some noise about the price hikes, and they were supposedly gonna do some sort of something to show their displeasure, walk out or something.
They were going to try to do a protest, Peter.
Right.
Because, yes, prices are crazy. And, you know, and I've had a couple people who have reached out to me and said, you know, what do the OGs think about that? You know, guys, we're not involved anymore with the supporters groups. You know, we did start the Southern Legion, which was the first supporters group, but we're not involved anymore. And we're basically out of the loop. So, you know, as what I would have done, you know, is, you know, definitely fight for everybody, not just the supporters group getting a discount. But we don't know, you know, if maybe the shirts are what they got. You know,
the way it looked. So, you know, what I wanted to see is, you know, they're supposed to be the ones that are, you know, they're kind of standing up, in my opinion, the way you stand up for the rest of the ticket holders, right? Because, like, look, they may give them a deal, but they're probably not giving us a deal. But they should at least, they're the voice of the fans, right? And if you and I said we're going to do a protest and you and I are walking out, well, that's two seats. Nobody cares. Right. Nobody's going to notice. But if you take that entire, North stand, and if that, what I like is, and I've seen this done before, is say at the 20th minute or a certain minute, you pick a time and everybody literally walks out. And then at a certain point in time, that entire section is empty. That speaks volumes. But what speaks equally as loud is when the leaders of the supporters groups and are out there on the field hugging and kissing and cheeks and getting jerseys and how much we love this team and all that, when they should be at that point. If I'm the leader of Southern Legion, which you and I were, I would not have been on that field accepting that shirt. At the very least, I'm not out there hugging and kissing and thanking and getting my shirt.
Yeah, and we really don't know if there's going to be, if there was, you know, maybe we're getting ahead of things, and, you know, from what
I understand, this is perception, and perception is reality. This is the look.
Yeah, that's a bad look. But what I have heard is that they're going to have a meeting. I think it's this week.
Right.
And, you know, but, you know, the time that, to have the meeting should have been before that.
100%. This should have been postponed. At the very least, this should have been postponed till after the meeting. And I know they want to do it because it's fan night or whatever, but it should not have happened. You know, it's bad look. And like our chat is agreeing right here. Kata saying sellouts. You know, Tank, who is a Southern Legion member, more involved than we are, so lame. And then he also says they sold out. Roberto saying, who founded this crap?
And you know, we
sorry, kind
of did, but Roberto, like I said, it's, you know, we're not in there anymore. We kind of stepped away from it because our thing really was, you know, this, the whole supporters thing was, you know, just icing on the cake, I guess you could say. But what we wanted was to bring a team to South Florida. We got that to happen. We didn't get anything for it other than the team. That's what we got. And we were happy with it. We didn't get a shirt. Beckham, you know, yes, a couple of pictures and stuff with Beckham. But what we decided early on was that the rest of the Southern Legion at the time, because it was only Southern Legion, we would spread the love to everybody else, because – you know, you don't want to see just my face up there. We wanted to see everybody up there. So that was one of the big things that we did. I didn't want them to just think, oh, Ed's, you know, the face of Southern Legion and the supporters. No, I you know, I didn't want that to happen. So I started stepping away. And, you know, thankfully, probably Beckham's really happy. He doesn't have to see my ugly mug that much anymore. But, you know, in the beginning, yeah, I saw him a lot. And, you know, and but now, you know, it got to the point where we just basically started stepping away from it, you know, and then, you know, things happened or whatever, but we weren't involved anymore. And we were not involved as we are now. We still support the Southern Legion and all La Familia for that matter. But we're not, you know, unfortunately, we're not involved and we never got anything except the team.
And right. I'm happy and, for but yeah. as the kind of the founding fathers, yes, we're not in it on the day to day, but I think we still, you know, I think it's important that, you know, we have a voice in this and stuff like that and just and kind of voice our displeasure at the group. Because it you know, like Kata was saying in that chat I put up, corporate shills. It sure looks bad. You know, that we also heard that part of the protest was going to be they were going to go to the game, but they were not going to bring any musical instruments. They were not going to bring any flags, no banners. They were going to be quiet, basically. And Vice City, because I know we may be getting on Southern Legion a little bit just because we are members and we're kind of let down. But Vice City brought in all their instruments, and I didn't look like there were instruments from the other supporters groups. I could be wrong, but it definitely was not as musical as it usually is. There, I don't recall seeing as many flags, if any. I don't think there was any flags.
No, there were, but not as many as they usually have.
Well, it looked like Vice City was in full effect. Like, you know, they have all, you know, and I don't know. I've heard that they get money from the team. So they're they're definitely, you know, you could say corporate shills. I don't know. It doesn't look good. It's my biggest complaint about all this. You want to be the voice of the fans. And a lot of us are very displeased. I've mentioned that my ticket prices went up 171%. We ran into somebody that was telling us theirs went up, what, 250? Something like that. Yep. Was B Kings. B Kings went up over 200%.
Yeah. I think our friend Patrick Barnhill also, his went up something like that. You know, it's a crazy amount. You know, and the thing that really frustrating for me is that a lot of parents, you know, they're going to think, man, I can't even take my kid to the games because it's just so expensive. I mean, I think the minimum age for kids, they don't pay unless if they're under four or something like that. Now, you know, shoot, my grandkids are, you know, they're 4 or 5 years old. I have to pay for a full ticket. I can't afford that, man. You know, a lot of people aren't going to be able to afford to get any of their kids in there or their grandkids, in my case. So, you know, it's frustrating. You know, I bought them their Messi jerseys and they won't be able to go see Messi.
True. And, you know, we all knew prices were going to go up and all that. And we talked about this at length last week. But again, I just feel kind of let down that what we think is the voice of the fan, it's just this. We get some shirts, and we sit down, and we're quiet. Or I'm sorry, they didn't sit down, and they weren't quiet. They were loud. They were noisy. They were in it. They were having fun. They were all, you know, super excited to get their jerseys. And I mean, it's cool, and they did a good job. I'm not saying they don't deserve the jersey. They do for the work that they put in, but now is not the time. Is the biggest thing.
When it was said that they were going to do a protest and that they didn't really do a protest.
Yeah, so, if you're not going to do it, don't say it. Don't get out there on social media and say something if you're not going to follow through. That's the biggest issue. If you're going to be the corporate chill, if you're going to just support the team blindly, which is fine, if that's your choice, fine, whether we agree with it or not, then don't go on social media, you know, blasting the team about the prices.
Right. Yeah.
They were, yeah. And the funny thing is, I think I leaned over to you during the game because I saw somebody on Twitter, and I don't remember who it was. Maybe it was that guy, IMCF Traveler or something. But somebody had posted on Twitter before the game that there would not be a protest because the supporters were offered free autographed jerseys, some specific events and all that. And I read that. Now, maybe this guy knows something. I read it like it was a little bit tongue in cheek. That's how I at least read it. But it wasn't far from true.
But he's probably somebody that's on the inside who knows somebody, you know, that's in there who told him about it. So he got, you know, he's one of those guys that breaks the information.
Yeah. Before. And I'm not sure if it was him, but I think it might have been. But regardless, yeah. I read it like it was a joke. Like he was just kind of like saying, this is what it's going to be. Ha ha ha. No, I think he was right.
Yeah. I don't know. But well, you know, it's still, you know, well, hopefully they'll get more than just that. You know, if I would have been in charge of the supporters group, I would have done the walkout anyway and say, look, sure. guys, you know, we're gonna still do it. You know, you want to give us a shirt, you know, have a couple people out there, but everybody would have been gone.
Right.
You know,
everybody right, else you still been are overcharging everybody. And right. that, and here's where also, so I've seen other people on social media saying, hey, what about us? Because there's, and I always joke about that they give preferential treatment to the supporters clubs, and I get why. But meanwhile, everybody else in that stadium, like on the sides, on the east and west, spend a lot more money and don't get any kind of preferential treatment.
They don't get diddly.
No, we get nothing. And we spend a lot more money. Mike V spending a lot more money. But I get it at the same time. I'm complaining, but I get it because you know, they're bringing the noise. They're bringing the vibe. They're you know, I get it. But yeah. That's why I was saying on Twitter, I posted something that what I want to see, they're raising our prices next year, right? And bringing in more sponsorships. We got Royal Caribbean, all that stuff. I want to see better giveaways than this cheap bucket hat that I'm never really going to wear because I don't look good in a bucket hat.
Right.
So
to my grandma.
Yeah, right.
I'm grateful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I want that. You know how like you go to baseball games and they give away like bobbleheads like once a year or something like that.
We need a Messi bobblehead.
I want Messi on my shelf going.
Hey, wait, you got one, Peter. You got one back there.
Yeah, but he's not bobbling. He doesn't bobble. And that's from Etsy. That's not official. That's from Etsy. Mm-hmm. Anyways, Ed, one other thing we didn't really talk about, but I'm trying to find where I put the image. I lost it. Holy cow, I did. Where was it? It was not on my thing anymore.
D. Willikers.
Here we go.
Fiddlestick. All right.
It's not cooperating.
Oh, I hate when that technology sometimes it gets in our way. Sometimes it helps us, but oh, yes, Peter. A lot of people came up to me and they asked me how's that kidney thing going. It's not going well. I think nobody wants this old kidney anymore. But I need to buy my season tickets, and the only way I'm going to be able to afford that is selling my kidney. But you guys don't have to, you know, let me do it. You could always join our Patreon. Right,
Peter? Holy cow, I forgot we actually had one voicemail and Kata's reminded me.
Oh, we're gonna have to go back to it.
We'll play it in just a second. But yeah, so what we're basically promoting here is you may not be able to help Ed to stop selling his kidney. I don't know. Okay. But for only $5 a month, you can help this channel. And I've met some people that have said, hey, how can we help the channel? And so we started this Patreon campaign. And so with this Patreon campaign, if you go to patreon.com/footballmiamiTV, you're going to get as much behind-the-scenes content as we can do. You will also join a private Discord chat of just Patreon members and Ed and myself. So we can have all the chats that we want with just people that are fans of this show. And so for, you know, and you're helping this channel do more content, and maybe Ed won't have to sell his kidney.
Maybe. But so, the way it's, I think I'm going to have to sell that kidney, Peter, because I, you know, the supporters aren't helping me out. They're not, you know, they're just looking out for themselves. So I'm not gonna, you know, they're not gonna help us get a discount. I think they're just gonna, you know, get a discount for themselves. I need to buy my season tickets, Peter. I'm gonna sell that kidney.
All right, all right. Well, here we go again. Again. With Caesar with $5 support super chat. That's also another way to support the channel. Ed, you'll have visual aid next week for your fundraiser. Borrow my helmet.
Yes. And if you guys don't know, you can see that picture right there. See if we put it up there again, Peter, but you could see that picture. If you focus in or make it bigger so people could see it, you could see Stryker Fett in all his glory. He's had that Boba Fett thing in
what? No, not that. Oh, one. You mean his picture?
Yeah, his picture, because you could see.
I can't make it any bigger now. But you could sort of see it.
He used to be humongous, but you could see him right there. Stryker Fett, back in the day. He was the only real drummer we had.
Yeah.
He had quads, and that was all you needed.
We're going to finish, because we forgot to play it, so we'll go a hair longer.
Hair?
Oh, Guyver is asking, what's Patreon again? Patreon is a way for or creators to you know, just to raise some money to help grow their channels. And so we've started a Patreon campaign, and it's basically you can start it and stop it as much, you know, whenever you want. So it's as of right now, you know, a lot of times on a Patreon you'll have several different tiers. Patreon recommends when you're first starting off to only have one tier. So we have one tier, and it's a $5 tier, and you know, you're committing to $5 a month, and with that, you know, and
I was going to say the next level, Peter, will be access to my OnlyFans. And so you guys get to see this cherubic body in all its glory. And, you know, that'll be the next phase we'll get into later on. But no, you know, you probably don't want to see that. That's why I have to do my kidney. That's why I have to get rid of the kidney.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody wants to see that. But this is the page. You know, so this is kind of what it would look like. You know, if you go and you go, it's very simple. And what you get for $5, and we titled it "Put Me in Coach." I don't know. We might change that. I don't know. I just put that in because you're becoming more active on the channel and stuff. So, you know, what we are committing to, we will give you our love and appreciation. You'll get some behind the scenes content whenever we can come up with. Exclusive voting power. So, you know, we'll put polls up on the Patreon page and get your opinion on things for directions maybe that we should go with the channel. So, and then Discord access, which is a private chat just for our viewers only. And as time goes by, that might get better, maybe, because I saw Cod, I think, asked if we were going to have any exclusive FMTV, you know, giveaway stuff in there. Look, if nothing as of yet, but if we are going to have ticket giveaways and stuff like that, that's another way to do it, is give away tickets into our Patreon members. And so, you know, because you're giving that extra commitment to the channel to help the channel grow. So, you know,
call it Lockhart shirts or something like that. We'll work our way up.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what Kata's asking, any yearly goodies. We'll work our way up into it. We got to start somewhere. So, you know, that's the beginning. And so, you know, meetups. Yep. Kata, we'll definitely do that. Yeah. So, and that's kind of the stuff that once you join, and we'll start asking like, hey, what should we do to make this better? And, you know, but right now, in order to do more stuff like shirts or giveaways or stickers or anything like that, you know, we need people to join. Because whatever Ed's joking around about the ticket, but actually whatever money you give goes right back to the channel. It goes right back to the channel. So, you know, going to places to eat and stuff like that costs money. So, as far as like videos and things like that. So anyways, let's finish up. We'll go an extra 5 minutes or so because this should have been played earlier, but we got on a roll and forgot. So here we go.
It's time for your voicemail.
Hello.
And this is Caesar again.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Caesar. I was at the game yesterday.
I was surprised that it was sold out, but kind of not really, because they were billing it. That was the return of Messi. Got to see him for about 30 minutes. He looked pretty good, fit-wise. A little bit rusty with some of the skills, but can't complain. Got a chance to see him. I went in this game without any expectation of winning, so I wouldn't get disappointed when we didn't win. And we had a lot of chances in the first quarter, but like they say, what only matters is goals, not how much possession you had and how many shots on target you had and how close you were to making goals. So we're not living in like would-be goals. We only live in the reality of actual goals. And at the end, Cincinnati capitalized on one of our defensive errors by Busquets, and they deserved it. So the other thing that I want to bring up is, I don't know if you guys heard what had happened with the supporters group. I saw some rumblings on the Facebook page about possible walkout, and then they ended up getting they canceled their walkout in protest of the price hike of the season tickets for photo op of the trophy, I think some signed swag, and like a fan appreciation thing day. So I don't know, just my opinion. If I was one of the leaders of the supporters group, I would have pushed harder for like a bonus credit to the supporters of like $100 to $150 off the season tickets, or try to negotiate to keep them at the price that they were this season. So, but what do I know? All right, guys. See you at the show.
All right. Thank you. Sorry we didn't get to that earlier. I just realized my computer was not plugged in, and it's going to die in a few minutes. So we better wrap this sucker up. Ed, what are we doing tomorrow night?
Guys, si hablan español, you can join us for the Spanish show that starts at about 9 p.m.-ish, Latin time, Miami time. It should be, usually we start about 9:30, to tell you guys the truth. Anything in Spanish, basically the same show, but in Spanish with our good friend Marco El Oso Donoso, the bear himself. And so we're going to be talking about that. Also, check out our vlog that should have been up, but I had to go out with the family, and it's been loading. It's been taking forever. My wife right there, she loves me. She's the best. We went out shopping, and of course that takes a little bit of time. That's why I was a few minutes late. But I love my wife, and I'll do anything for her. So
especially when she's watching.
Especially when she's watching. I'm a very obedient.
She'll get mad at me for saying that.
But otherwise, yeah, guys, look out for the vlog. And Peter, I drove by the airport by Mel Rees, and it looks the same. So there's no video yet for the new stadium, Miami Freedom Park. Looks like not very much has been done. We will do a video once that's available. And now check out our video of Mate. It was the first time we had Mate. Peter, you know, was like impressed because he was hoping it had like more. He was under
something
the
extra in it,
right? He was just, it's only tea. But you know, check out that video. And
what I think that video is fun too, because it's educational. We don't do educational, but it was, you know, and there was somebody that watched that video that said, I was wondering what was in Messi's cup. So now you know, and so it's a little bit educational and fun. So yeah, go check that video out. It's good.
They were what, little balls of liquid glory that makes
right,
him a player.
Right.
So we're, you know, if you want to be a player like him, I've seen a lot of people now do that. I've seen people in Ecuador. The other day I was watching a video, the guy was drinking mate, and I was like, wait a second. That's really more of an Argentine, Brazilian, Paraguayan, Uruguayan thing, but it's starting to spread in South America, man.
Mike V wants the Inter Miami mate vessel. He wants that.
That is cool. That is really cool.
So, you gotta get find out where he got that. He told us when we were over his house, but I forgot.
Inter Miami needs to like totally capitalize on that. We've been, you know, we're giving them all these free opportunities to make money. Mate, those little vessels are awesome.
They would sell a ton of them because you always see Messi with one. You put the Inter Miami stamp on it, and they would sell a ton of those.
Another thing, Guayaberas, man. I've been telling you forever. An Inter Miami Guayabera for all the players who walk into the stadium in Guayaberas. What's more Miami than that?
The problem, and I've said this before, the problem with all these ideas, it seems, is that all the teams, it's they all have the same stuff. There's very few, you know, clubs that have their own agreements, or maybe one or two. And most of it is league-wide. And so everybody's got the same stuff. So, but they do need to allow them if they're not allowed, or if they are allowed, they just need to do it and make some local sponsorship deals with things that make sense to the community that you're in. A Guayabera would be awesome. The drinking vessel, whatever it's called.
The mate.
I don't even know what it's called, but anyways. All right. Oh my gosh. I thought this is funny, but we'll end on this. We're not really going to get into this. Already? We need a new coach. Already? God, Octavio. Give the guy some time. Holy cow.
Join us tomorrow. We're talking Spanish about that, Octavio.
We'll get into that tomorrow. Yeah, that'd be a fun topic. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for watching. Please like, share, and subscribe. And we'll see you tomorrow.